Part of the activation training is getting you used to different sensations, different images, different things that the Lord will just download to you, and then you can put them in a message, send them to the receiver. And again, it's the way He works. It's going to be different. You're going to sense different things. You're going to be downloads, and you're going to experience pains or emotions or sensations that you'll give, and that's part of the message. Yeah. Or is he's telling you something, that this is the trouble. This is where the trouble is. Or this is where I want you to bring the word and the comfort. So, again, it's not basic. It's not the one-on-one stuff. This is where, you know, you want to start becoming sensitized. You want to sensitize yourself to the Holy Spirit. And don't do that. Part two, we want to talk about governing ourselves. If you read the top quote there, is what we're doing, prophesying about where we are going. I love that quote. Now, I quote different people. You may have different feelings about them. That's fine. But that was a good quote. I'm using it. So, there's going to be some learning goals here. We want to talk about prophetic conduct. We want to talk about giving honor. We want to talk about the deeper dimensions that require being intentional and deliberate. Another learning goal is being, aside from the prophetic, there are other areas of dimensions that are available to enter. Okay, it's not just the prophetic. And then I give about 15 tips. And one of the biggest tips there, I'm going to make sure that I hit, if I haven't read here, that is about how do we treat our prophetic partners when they have a word, when they're anointed. And then, of course, again, we'll remind each other that it's not about the knowledge or the ability to operate in the gift. It's the anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Yeah. So let's talk about personal conduct. Let me pull this out. Now, it goes without saying that conduct is extremely important. It really is. And it's about attitude. What is our attitude? How do we view people? How do we view the church? How do we view ourselves, right? So if you look up the word attitude, it has posture in it. And it's bad enough that much of the church battles with unbelief, but it gets worse when believers and non-believers see conduct and attitudes that undermine the prophetic ministry. And you're saying, well, you're not talking to me. I'm pretty good. Come on. You know. Well, remember, I'm talking to you as a trainer. And this is the kind of message you're going to have to give to people. You say, you got to watch what you do. You're not your own. A lot of people that go into government work, and especially in the very sensitive areas, they think their life is still their own. No. No, it's not. And no, you're not free to do anything you want, say anything you want on social media, right? And get away with that. That's not going to happen. And believe me, our message has been time and time and time again. Stop putting out these ridiculous messages that make you look bad and the department or the government look bad. You're not going to get away with it. It reduces confidence in the government, right? You tell these people all the time, what do? They still do it. There's something in them that refuses. They want to have they want to be licensed to do anything. You're not. You have restrictions. And it's the same thing when you're in the prophetic. If you are a prophetic minister or you have the gifts, you don't have license to do anything you want. No. The Lord is going to put you on that path of regulated conduct, if I can use that term. It's true. Right? And you, really, if you're engaging in the spiritual realms and dimensions, you're not going to want to engage in a lot of stuff anyway. Right? Okay. Believe it or not, we and the prophetic ministry are enhanced by doing the simple things. Being polite, having a smile, having kindness, being approachable, demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, walking humbly, observing rules and customs so as not to alienate ourselves from a person or a leader or a church body, right? We just I mean, just observe those things. It's not a big deal to us. Believe me, the Lord is not trying to whack every pastor, whack every assembly and congregation because they're not doing something right. It doesn't happen, folks. It's not that way. So, as you can imagine, the perfect ministry can be hindered by not doing those simple things. Okay? And if we're not doing that simple thing, those easy things, really, you may not feel it, but you demonstrate it. All right? You take the pain. Now, that's a little bit off track there, but take the pain. You don't have to lash out at every word that is against you or everything else, okay? One of the things that we have to remember that people are watching, and that puts some pressure on people. They don't like that. In fact, it's my individuality, and I want to be able to do what I want, and this is America, and this is the land of, on and on we go with that, right? But that's not the case. It doesn't happen like that. This may put a little pressure on you, but putting on your best face is better than demonstrating a personality that is erratic or unpredictable. I'm not saying it's you, but you will be telling people this. It's incongruous to be considered a person that's deep, yet walk around like a troll, or be a person that repels others. Right?
Yeah.
So when you grow in power and influence, the challenge is to be in a stable place where you demonstrate fruits. The gifts are the tools, and the fruits are the results of our walk. Fruits. Let people see your fruit, not just your ministry. And that's in Galatians.
Yeah.
And again, part of our core values, we want to see the body of Christ be healthy and functioning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And our desire to see saints live better and fuller lives. It doesn't just happen because we've thought about it. We have to do as well. And so to be used as vessels, we have to start taking those steps to become effective ministers and let God help us on the journey. Some of those steps are being deliberate and intentional with our time and how we spend our lives. Is that a bullet that you have?
No.
All right. A little bit extra. Sensitizing ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Sensitizing ourselves. How do I get that? Because we ask for that, don't we? But if we're living in a life that just has all these blaring voices and bullhorns of information, how do we get quiet? Well, you're going to have to find that way. The Holy Spirit will help you. Also, giving honor where honor is due to church leaders and congregations, and respecting and honoring the lesser members. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 12:23. We respect everybody. We honor everybody. Everybody's valuable. Everybody's valued. Don Davis is holding a prophetic seminar. Nobody comes. Right? Yeah. That'd be horrible, right? It'd be terrible. I'd have my Saturday free. Oh, well. I'm just kidding. No, but everybody's valued here. Everybody. And we have to demonstrate that. And trust me, folks, I came from a dark place in my career. And my wife can tell you that. Part of my testimony is that I plunged into darkness. I didn't know if I was going to make it back. All right? I hated people. I hated what they did. I hated them. And I used to, my prayers were, Lord, bring the flood again. I'm not kidding you. I said that. My wife had a prophetic word for me one day. I'll never forget it. I was driving 4th Avenue in White Center. She goes, Lord wants you to know that he loves those people and he cares about those people. And I can't say that I just came out of it right then. But it was a reminder. It's been very, very important to have a prophetic wife. Yes. So, I mean, that's part of my story, right? And so what I know I have to do is I need to be engaged with people. They're important. I want to be interested in loving and all those things, right? And I'm still working on that, believe it or not, because of all that conditioning and all that business of being in the government. You know, don't touch, don't say, don't do, right? So anyway, that's extra. Okay. Let's go below the bar, the box. And that is, giving honor helps release the impartation of the minister or the speaker. Yeah. Okay, you're for them. And I can, I don't want to go into all kinds of stories about that, but I have witnessed that where a speaker gets up and reminds the congregation, and it was a, in fact, it was Voice of the Province, Pennsylvania. And Patricia King got up and did that. She mentioned that. She said it was a, to bring honor to the ministers. And people went into that that mindset. And probably millions of or little silent prayers that went up. And amazing things happened. Miracles. We need to watch what we say and do. Of course, James 3:6, we talked about taming the tongue. You don't want to set the wrong fires. Being in the anointing, not just operating with the gift, but having the anointing is where there's power to change things. We have to remember that. You can operate without, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. You can operate the gift, but if that anointing isn't there and working on them, maybe they can receive some things. And we need to find ways and means to grow our gifts and steward them responsibly. And I'm going to cover more into that as we go. So let's talk about the deeper dimensions of the prophetic minister. And again, something my prophetic mentor said. Yes, this particular person. Remember, this is not just about the knowledge or the ability to operate in a gift or sharing via teaching or imparting information. It's the anointing. To go into deeper dimensions and next levels, the investment of time and energy is unavoidable. You want to get on the mat and learn how to wrestle and get good and take on different opponents and be able to defeat your opponent when the real time comes, you've got to train. You've got to get on that mat. Yeah, I'm using an athletic example, right? Paul did that too and used military examples too, right? You got to get out there and you got to... and I'm using wrestling, but we want to be also in the Holy Spirit in that, those dimensions and communing with Him. And that's going to take time. Now, you may have a frustration that you've been unable to accommodate, and that's due to your hectic pace or your life and things like that, but or you haven't had the will. And that's a true dynamic. I mean, hey, I don't got it. I don't feel it. I don't care. Well, your prayer is, Lord, get me to that place. I'm willing to be willing. And He'll get you there, I promise you. The invitation is always there. Don't beat yourself up and say, you know, I've kind of wasted so much time and I've done, believe me, I've said all that. And the Lord invites me back.
Yes.
Amazing. It is so amazing. I sometimes I just say, Lord, it's just too good to be true. You're just too good to be true. Because I'm so grateful for it. So remember that Jesus can shift you internally and move things externally to make things ready for you. Ask for the shift. And then move when it's time. It requires faith. But be deliberate and be intentional with your life. And ask the Holy Spirit to guide your steps. And then there's the bullets right there. God has designed that deeper and higher means deeper commitments. I'm not saying your life will just, all these things on your appointment calendars magically disappear. I'm not saying that. But you will have to make some adjustments. You may be called to prophetic ministry and moving with the gifts, again, but it's not going to land on you. Now, some things, some events may... How I got into prophetic ministry was something that did land on me, by the way, but that didn't mean it was going to stay there, okay? So I had to adjust my life accordingly. And the school of the prophets weren't for nothing. Now, some individuals do have particular gifts from their youth or birth, but that isn't the norm. God has his ways of doing things. And then the fourth bullet will have to be, again, I keep going, deliberate and intentional. If you want to go deeper, deliberate, intentional. Yes, I'm talking to you. I think all of us can take that word right now. We may have to move things out of the way to make that time and energy to move into God's deeper dimensions. And if you're not there, you know, that happens. Believe me, folks, I used to go to church. I couldn't wait to get out. I couldn't wait to get out of there. The door never hit me in front of behind during those days. But the day came, I asked for the more, and that I was willing. And then things started to shift from there on.
Yeah, that's right.
And find a place to grow where the Holy Spirit is placed within you. Now, I want to say this. I need to say this. I'm not saying run out of your church, leave your church. I'm not saying that. But you need to find the space, the place, to have this grow within you. Have it be nurtured. And I'm going to talk more about that in session 3. Now, much is said about paying the price, and sometimes that sounds as if only a few people are capable, right? It's often said with drama, and it's used to venerate people. But maybe this is just an idea I'm putting out there. An idea. Maybe we should reframe it, what the price is. What is it really? You're trading time. And some of your activities have to stop.
That's right, it's a trade.
It's a trade, yeah.
Yeah.
Others have to be picked up. And there's a sidebar there that you can read through it. But again, I think sometimes we make too much out of some things when really they tend to get pretty simple. God's, another, the top bullet, God's presence is incredible and very attractive. Oh, it is. I use the word addictive, and I put it is. His presence is a wonderful habit to cultivate. We need to do that. Cultivating study and prayer, presence, can be where it becomes a consuming passion. I love putting this together. I love God's word. I love it. I love it. I love his presence. Yeah, I get sidetracked. I get hit, you know. But I love it. I love him. I love to come back. I love when he invites me back or he invites me to go to a higher level. I just love it. Love when you have prophetic words. You have something for me? Wow. Yeah. You know, I had some very interesting things that happened this past year. So Liz had a word. I said, wow, I can't wait to get it. You know, blessed by it. Carrie, her writings, you know, she was prophesied that she would be like a samurai, so she'd be a warrior, but also a calligrapher, like a writer. And samurai in that day was not just a warrior, but they also had an artisan side to them. So yeah, I received that, and I'm just amazing. I still have it on my phone, so I can, and I peek at it occasionally. So, your priority is going to be repositioned. And then at the last bullet there, more spiritual combat and adventure in those dimensions. But isn't that what you've asked for? To be a people? To be a people of impact. Yes. So, again, we're going to, you know, I think I evaluate my life and I just say, I want that. I would rather have that than the things that the world offers or, you know, the rewards or the positions and things like that. Remember the verse that says the rich, they pierce themselves through with many sorrows? It's not just money. It's power, position. You know, some people move into position, they go, yeah, and then they get in and they go, oh my word, what did I do? Yeah. Yeah, that's a reality. Okay, let's go below the box there. Deeper dimensions require holiness. And there's a call for that. God is going to ask it of you or demand it. And you're going to need it. John 14:30, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He talks about the devil has nothing in me. There's no holds. Can't get him. He's tried. There's nothing in me. Or there was nothing in me that he could get. And also with that, we don't want any hooks and handles for the enemy to grab onto.
Right.
And we don't want to be in a place of vulnerability, such as, you know, we don't want to be in sin cycles, and we don't want to be sitting on powder kegs of secrets, or in a place where we can be bought.
Right.
Examples are Balaam, Gehazi, right? He'll seek you out, and he'll see if he can buy you out, the devil, that is, right? I can give you a more comfortable life, more comfortable existence, if, right? Doesn't necessarily have to be all about money. It could be just about, you know, just having that perfect space or that perfect spot that you've always wanted, right? Am I talking to you, or am I connecting with you?
Yeah.
All right.
Also,
think about personal holiness. We don't want to use grace to do the things that even the unsaved don't even do, right? 1 Corinthians 5:1, right? Don't abuse the grace that's given us. If you want to go deeper, with about mid-page here, ask the Lord to shift you, and he'll do it. He'll prepare the way, prepare your heart, be faithful to answer those prayers. It's his good pleasure to do so. He wants to do it. I can't express that enough. I'm feeling his pleasure right now. He wants to take you there.
Yes.
Loves you. Loves you to itty bitty bits. Now, if you don't have a prophetic ministry that's active right now, or let's say that you're looking for a place, or you want to get some more training or things like that, keep in mind you can still push the envelope with the Lord. You can have personal revival, and in fact, it is your responsibility to have personal revival. And the prophetic is one dimension, but there's other dimensions that he can show you. But if, in fact, we are responsible for our revival, why do we often leave it to others? Why do we leave it to others? Do I need to repeat, or... Okay. But instead, why don't we be more deliberate and intentional with our own lives when we do that?
That's right.
And the bullets are there. Go for the deeper relationship. It's always there. It's always available. And he's always inviting us, pulling us. Ask God to open other spiritual dimensions. Some of you want to be in healing. Open eyes to the angelic realm. You say, well, that's one for special. No, it's not. Folks, if I can do it, you can do it. Yeah. I never thought I'd be up here training in prophetic things. Never crossed my mind years ago. Never. And when I first was cultured in the church and everything, I thought prophetic was for women. I know, that sounds misogynistic and all that stuff. But it's true. I didn't think it was for me or for men and all that. I see a few men do it, but, you know. We were men of the word. We were the men of ministers, and we would, you know, things like that. Yeah, that was my thought. And then one day in a prayer meeting, we were praying for a woman, and poof, it popped out. And I knew it was a prophetic word, and that changed the course of my life since. Okay, but also, when we talk about opening the eyes to the angelic realm, he can do that. And it's for a good purpose. Let him do it in his way, his timing. I happen to be one of those guys that if I'm going to put on a uniform and equipment, you might as well take me all the way. Yeah. Yeah. So if I'm going to be in the Army, I want to be the Green Beret guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's my DNA. So I want to see it. I want to say, Lord, because it... Believe me, I've seen some incredible things, too. So, but that's me. That's what I want to do. I don't want to just be, and some people are different. I get that, you know. I'm the guy that, okay, I did some fire service work for a number of years, by the way, if you didn't know. And I'm the guy that wants to put on the gear and climb up that tower, the Columbia Tower, 73 floors, 73 stories. Yeah, and firefighter gear. Believe me, one of the hardest things I ever did. Every time I did it, I said, this is the last time. And I do it again. My sense is, though, that
wow.
In the spiritual realm, it's like that. He can take you deeper. He can take you into places that other people don't really want to go and haven't been, but he'll send you, he'll take you. But it's got to be part of you. You've got to want that and do it, and then do it. I can tell you stories. I don't want to get lost in the stories, but that's just what's in me. And ask him. Okay, let's go down the bullets. Dreams, their interpretation. Dreams are fascinating. Words of knowledge, supernatural faith. Gifts of healings, supernatural experiences. And then I put in the last, practice honing your spiritual radar. What are we doing? How are we doing for time?
Good. You have 13 minutes left for this
session. 13? Okay, good. I'm on track. I don't know what you'll have in mind, but... hold on.
Here.
Okay.
You good?
Yep. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks. All right. Let's go down I'll go down. We have 10 minutes left here?
13.
We'll go down these real quick. Because again, I'm looking at you as the trainer. You will be leading. You will be telling people how to do, what to do when the day comes. Okay? Don't think of yourself as a spectator. You are here, and you're here to train. And you might as well just say, give it to me all. Give it all to me. All right? So number one, be true to yourself and the Holy Spirit. You can read the bullets for yourself and just kind of scan them there. If you don't have the anointing, you don't have it. Just be honest about it. That's all right. Like right today, some of you feel, not quite comfortable with that. That's fine. I don't mind. But you be true to yourself, all right? Don't make something up. And if you start out, and this has happened to me, if you don't finish with the word, don't worry about it. Just admit what happened. And then we'll just move on. Stay true to what you're given. Let's bounce to number two. Sometimes you're going to get things, folks, and again, I'm talking to an audience that's been through the basics. You're going to get something that seems so strange and outlandish. And you got to take the risk. Okay? And sometimes I didn't take the risk, and I waited, and the word came, was proven true, and then sometimes I did take the risk, and I'm just going, oh, okay. I'll never forget there was one time a prayer meeting, and this guy, what he did was he took a large amount of money and blew it in the market, or something to the effect where he took a large investment and lost it. Large. And I just, all of a sudden, we were just talking, and I felt this, a download. It's like, tell that man, you are not a failure. And I went, what? What? But it was to be in a way of, you are not a failure. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And I found out that he had lost all this money because he confessed it. And I just said, okay, the Lord told me to tell you, you are not a failure. Okay, but... It just seemed out so outlandish. It was out of context, it seems, right? I can give you a number of examples like that. But again, my time is starting to get limited here. We want to stay on track. So the Holy Spirit's going to do some mysterious things, and you have to embrace that. There's a purpose. Sometimes you get to find out why. Sometimes, no. All right? But when you're right about what you received and you delivered it and you know it and you get confirmation, it builds more faith, doesn't it? Number three, don't feel forced to operate or perform. When people are going to put a demand on you, once they understand, oh, you've got a prophetic gift, oh, you understand the prophetic dimension, they're going to come up to you and say, I think, though, you have a word for me. And that's okay. But don't feel like you have to. I mean, if it's not there, it's not there, right? So, how many people have had that happen? Yeah. Keep in mind, I want you to, this is something that I believe. Now, other people say some different things. The Holy Spirit does not waste men's words. He doesn't waste it. So if people are out there and some of them collect words, okay, keep in mind, the Holy Spirit may not be saying much to a particular individual that has already been downloaded with a lot, right? So the rhema is for a purpose. You can't manipulate him. But if you do get approached, you can pause. You can say, okay, Lord, is there something for this person? Right? There's nothing wrong with that. Number four, if you get a prophetic word that reveals very personal, sensitive details, I don't mean to pound this, but handle with care. Okay? And we talked about earlier, remember, you're an advanced group. Does the Lord give warnings? Yes, he does. Okay? If you get, don't expose gross sin in public. Take it to the side. Again, if it's, the exposure is there, the purpose is to restore.
Right.
Restore.
Yes. Yes.
See the person through God's perspective, which is that God sees the person in Christ, not in sin. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Yeah. When you get a picture that's seemingly negative, again, remember that that's for a purpose. Ask the Holy Spirit what that purpose is. And always remember that the Holy Spirit is in the business of rescue and restoration. Let me give you an example. Let me put some pictures to this. I was just starting in training in the prophetic, and we were seated. There were a group of four, and we would all take turns. And so I was with three ladies. And so the one woman was seated receiving the word, and we three would give her the word. And the first two ladies went, and I think some of you have heard this story before, but ladies were saying, whoa, I see you in a dress, in a white dress, and wonderfulness, and see you in a garden, and picking the flowers and the daisies, and, you know, things like that. I'm just kind of embellishing a little bit to move along. And then the second one said the same thing, you know, I see you in a wonderfulness, and what did I see? I see this woman who's on a ship. In a stormy sea, it was kind of like one of those sailing ships. Stormy sea, I mean that boat is getting battered around. And she had this look of terror, absolute terror. She was wanting to throw herself in the sea, in the act of it. And I'm going, what in the world is this? How am I going to translate that to her? What was that? A warning. Yeah. And why did the Lord give me such a young, ripe age of prophetic ministry? I don't know, but he trusted me with it. I didn't reveal it right away. Found out that she was wanting to kill herself because she was in so much pain.
Yeah.
So we prayed for her. That is the purpose. When you start getting receiving things, you say, Lord, lean in. Find out. What is it? And then maybe you start asking questions. And so that was the, I'll never forget that experience. But yes, it happens. The Lord is going to show you things. And maybe they're not all wonderfulness and pretty and, you know, ducks and bunnies and all that. Number six, be careful about speaking into obvious deformities and disabilities. Keep in mind that it's highly likely that other people have spoken and prayed into that. And if you do get a word on that, you want to be true to the Holy Spirit, but just keep in mind and don't take it into a place of embarrassment. You know, you want to just power through and all that stuff. And, you know, keep in mind other people have done that too. They've been to other places. So, number seven, and some of these things you're going to have to go and chew on a bit, right? Thank you. Number seven, remember that no one is 100% accurate all the time. That's just the way it is.
Yep.
All right? That is, the Holy Spirit is, but you're not. Be vigilant. Take the proper steps with offenses. This is important because if you want to get shut down faster than anything, and I mean anything, offenses.
Yes.
Yeah. I've experienced that. And it's just the nature of them.
Yeah.
So, man, you want to be soft. You want to 70 times 7, forgive, yeah. Get counsel, get help, right? I have to do that. Number nine, resiliency is vital to the prophetic minister. Vital. Because you're going to have opposition. You're going to have off days. Your batting average may sink a bit. I use a lot of sports analogies. Okay? But don't quit. Soldier on. The testing, the trial is for a purpose. Everybody struggles. Everybody has struggled in the gifts. Everybody. Belinda, have you struggled?
Absolutely.
We're doing it right now.
High five on that. Be polite. Number 10, be polite and grateful for the words you get. Just be, you can read the bullets there because of my time is starting up. Keep the edge sharp. Okay? We're going to talk about this a little bit later. Groups, mentors, books. There's a ton of stuff out there. Ask for feedback and find ministries you like and trust and learn from them. Okay, number 12. You guys, are we on number 12 on your bullets? Okay, this is important. Don't treat your prophetic partners as common, and don't discount receiving prophetic words from them from your circle of friends or fellowship. Why? Some of the most significant messages I've received have come through friends and partners and family. Yes. Why? They're close in proximity. You don't have to spend wads of money to keep traveling to seek prophets. I have a prophetic troop here. I'm surrounded by prophets. I like it. Get stronger. Right? Go deeper, get stronger. They get activated due to their proximity to you. Isn't that something? And his desire to speak to you. Real quick. I receive a word here in Seattle. Says, what do you want to do? And I go, well, okay, well. And I go travel to Pennsylvania. And prophetic ministry, oh, I know they're going to say something that's really deep and mysterious. And they go, what do they say? What do you want to do? There's more to the story, but that's the essence. Your friends know you, and that information actually about you can be used to your benefit. We don't recognize that because we tend to validate prophecy more from those that don't know us. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But they love, your friends care about you. They love you. You're not a one-time visitor or an event. Right? You're, and the Lord will download on them and deliver something to you. And you'll know it. You'll know it in your knower. And remember this, that prophets that don't know you may only see through a glass darkly, or they only get fragments. Okay? Even the best of them, right? They see through a glass darkly. All right. 13. If you're in a culture of prophetic, wait carefully. You have to do that. Or else you'll... Some people can be open for some gross manipulation. 14, don't be discouraged by the unbelief of others or if other churches don't seem to practice. Again, be patient with that. You move. I'm not saying leave your church. You understand that? Okay. I'm not saying leave. I'm just saying, but if you want to flourish in the prophetic, then you need to find the places that do flourish. Okay, 15, keep in mind you will be the coach and counselor and minister of prophetic teaching, learning, responsible for others and things like that. And your experiences are going to be interesting and relatable to stories. So we'll cover the main takeaways and then we're going to get into some practice. You guys okay?
Yes.
Prophetic conduct is important, yes? Giving honor where due, that's important. Deeper dimensions in the Holy Spirit. It requires being intentional and deliberate. Aside from the prophetic, there are other areas and dimensions that are available to you that you can enter into.
Yes.
We talked about today, well, the list of tips. One of the biggest tips is not to discount your prophetic partners. And number 6, it's It's not just about the knowledge or the ability, it's the anointing, which I'm feeling on me. All right, ready? You ready to activate?
Yeah, sure.
All right. All right. So, there's an anointing in here. Okay, we're going to do something that I think you